Have you ever noticed how many questions your kids can ask? Over and over and over. I know we were riding along one time with one of our grandkids, and they just ask one question. It's only one word, over and over and over again. Why? 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 I was so glad we got to our destination and get that kid out of there. You know, just over and over. But you know, that's the way that we learn. And they start that at a very early age of asking why and why. Another thing that is interesting, have you ever thought about this? Human beings are the only creatures capable of asking questions. We're the only ones. God has given us that ability to ask questions. So in this text this morning, chapter 3 and 4, I want us just to look at five questions that Moses had to deal with and the same questions we still have to deal with today. I've encouraged you in the e-news, and I want to encourage you again. I would encourage you to have a journal. Bring a little journal book so you can take notes. These five questions will be very, very important for you to write down. Write down some scriptures and follow in that in your time alone with God this week and try to answer those questions. How would you answer those questions that will be raised this morning? Take notes. There's something about when you take notes, it helps you remember it a little bit more. And so if you want to do that on your phone, that's fine. If you want to use that on your computer, that's fine. Or you have a journal, but some way that you can capture these five notes of questions. Now, first of all, you know the story extremely well about Moses and God's calling him in the burning bush and him taking care of the sheep, and God spoke to him. And then he immediately replies back to you in protest. And the very first question is one that we want to talk about this morning. It's a very, very important question, basic to life. And that is, Moses said, "Who am I?" Look at it in chapter 3. But Moses said to God, say it. Who? One more time. How would you answer that? Who am I? This week, take your journal and answer that. Write out Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Who am I? And then answer that. And don't write down your address or your name or your family or where you live or how much money you got or where you work, your profession or your background. And write out, who am I? Have you ever done that? Do you have clear in your mind who am I? It's a fundamental question in life. A lot of times we get who mixed up with what. We're not talking about what you can do. It's talking about who you are. Quite different. Moses learned a little bit about what he could do or what he couldn't do. He failed. Now he's on the backside of the desert. He felt like he was a powerful person. After all, he was raised in the palace, kind of the stepson to the Pharaoh. He had power. That's what he could do. It was quite a while before he could learn who he was. Now, we're not talking about what you can do. We learn that as a child. We begin to grow up and we begin to learn more about what we can do. You know, we can run faster, maybe, than the rest of the kids. We can sing. And you begin to discover, I can sing. I read this week about Julie Andrews. You remember, do you like listening to the sound of music? What a beautiful voice she has. But you know, when she had surgery on her throat, she lost her voice. She talked about how devastating that was. That's who she was in many respects, her voice. Now it's gone. No, that wasn't who she was. That's what she could do. Now we're dealing with the question, not what you can do, but who you are. When I was in high school, I could shoot the basketball and do pretty well at shooting the basketball. I was out walking the other day and some kids playing basketball. And I said, throw it to me, let me shoot. I didn't even get it close to the basket, you know. Those days are over. That's what I could do, but what I can't do now. But then who am I? Who are you? And I've worked a lot on this. I thought through this and thought through it, and I thought, how can you boil that down in such a small amount of time of talking about who you are? Who am I? Who am I? I think a couple of things. One is that I don't want to get that confused with what I can do. Because what I can do will be coming and going, fading out, and I cannot do what I used to do, but I may be able to do what I used to not be able to do. That's always a changing thing. So I don't want to confuse who and what, my abilities, with who I am. So the first thing I note about Moses is Moses said, "Who am I?" And God, in essence, was saying, "You're one that is called." Write that down, called. Now the question is, how have you responded to the call? Every person, somewhere along the line, you've sensed the call of God to receive Him into your life to be your Savior. My question is, have you responded to that call? Who are you? Are you a child of God? Have you responded to the call? The second part of that call is not only called to be a follower of His, but then called to serve Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul talked about it this way. He said, we are God's workmanship. We are creation of God, created to do good works. So not only am I called, I am created by God. I'm His creation. And I'm unique to all other. I am the workmanship of God. I like the way some translations do Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are God's masterpiece. Have you ever thought about yourself that way? I am God's masterpiece. He created me uniquely from any other person. So two things I know about who I am is one, is I've been called. Many times in churches we talk about, oh, well, that means you're called as a pastor. No, first call was when I was just a kid, called, and God said, I want you to be my child. That's who I am. I'm called. Now the question is, for what? Why'd He call me? He called me, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I'm called as His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works for His glory. I'm created for His glory, and my work should glorify Him. So two things, I'm called, and I'm created. Now we could go on and on with that, but the fact is that we are called and we are created all for His glory. You know, I think that runs through all of our minds. It certainly did David. You know, I can imagine David out and then taking care of the sheep at night. It may have been similar to that of Moses. And he wrote Psalm chapter 8. And he looked out at the starry sky and then he asked the question, when I look at all the starry sky, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And he goes on to say, but He created him a little bit lower than Elohim. A God. Create Him a little bit lower than God. I'm God's creation. I've been called. We sang a song a moment ago, Who Am I? It's written by Mark Hall, and Mark Hall, actually in Alabama, was out. He said he wrote most of his songs while he was driving. They came to his mind. You know, he'd just be driving along, kind of worshiping, talking to God, and songs would come to his mind. And he said he's actually traveling on a really country road down in Alabama away from anything and everything. And he got to thinking about, who am I? Down here in Alabama, far removed from everything, who am I? Have you ever felt that way? Who am I? Who am I? And he wrote the song, Who Am I? Who am I? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done, talking to God. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. That's his conversation with God. So your assignment this week in your journal is to take that scripture and answer that question. Who am I? Who am I? That's what Moses had to deal with. It will serve you extremely well in the days ahead if you get real clear in your mind, this is who I am. That's much different than what I can do. Second question is that Moses was really not responding to that very well, and he had some more questions. He said, Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? In other words, the second question is not only, who am I, but God, who are you? Who is God? Who is God? You know, there is a God in everyone's life. Even the atheist has a God. The God is maybe their own mind, their own creation. But who is God? That can also serve you extremely well to be able to answer that. Now, here's what God said. I am that I am. I wish I could say that like I hear it in the Ten Commandments, but I don't have that kind of voice. So I am that. What does that mean? Write that down in your journal and then answer it. If I were to come to you this morning and say, you know, I've read this, it says, I am who I am. In fact, this is one of the questions that came up in our small group. It said, what does that mean? Well, if God says that's who he is, would it not be good to know how to answer that? What does it mean when he says, I am who I am? Now, in your follow-up material for your small group, you'll find this, and it'll be on the screen here, of what that means. I am who I am means self-existent. In other words, no one created him. One of the questions that I've had often over the years is children come after the service and with mom and dad and said, our son or daughter has a question to ask you. And the question they ask is, where did God come from? And I would lean down and I say, that's such a good question. Go home and ask your mom and dad. They know exactly how to answer that. Who is God? Where did he come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He always has been. Can you understand that? No. That's beyond our infinite mind, because we're now talking about a finite person. Always has been. Always will be. Not only it means self-existing, never has been created, but he's unchanging. He's the same in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament, that he is today, that he will be tomorrow. He's never changing. People's understanding of him change. We have a little bit different understanding of him in the New Testament than they understood him in the Old Testament. Now we have Jesus, helps us understand a little bit more. We have his word that he can speak to us, and we continue to know more about him. But God never changes. We understand him maybe differently, but he's never, ever changing. He's eternal. Always has been, always will be. That's beyond our understanding. He is the creator. He's the one that started it all in the very beginning. He is the creator. There was a time in which the world began and the universe began. You know, scientists, this is interesting. Scientists used to say that it always has existed. It hadn't been very long ago, though, they came up and coined this word, Big Bang. And when I began to hear all this Big Bang, I thought, the Bible has been saying that for years. There was a point in which it started. And God was the one that pulled the trigger. And creation began. He is the creator. Not only that, he's the sustainer. He's the one that keeps it all going. The more we understand about our universe and how it works so methodically, and know that there is a God. He is a person, not just a force or a power. He is a person, and this person is always moving and sustaining. I got a little book. In fact, I pulled it off my shelf this week to look at it. J.B. Phillips wrote a book, Your God is Too Small. In essence, he says in that book, many people still live today as an adult with the same understanding they had of God when they were in Sunday school in the first and second grade. And he says, your God is too small. Is there by chance a way that you might be able to know God better? See, the first question to work on is, who am I? Now, God, who are you? Do you think you can know him better? Moses was delving into that experience right here. Moses knew about God. He maybe knew a lot about God. But now he's come to the point of really knowing God. There's a difference there. Let me give you two things that'll help us know God better. There's a lot of books, good books, written about God. I would look up online J.I. Packard and see what he's written about God. A.W. Tozer, T-O-Z-E-R, and look at The Knowledge of the Holy One. Just look at some of these authors. But I'll tell you now, that is not enough. That is only what you'll learn about God. It has to go another step. Moses knew about God, but now he was confronted with the act of faith and knowing him more personally. So get some books, read about God. But secondly, if you want to know God better, it's a daily time alone with him and let his word speak to you. And in that time alone, the only way you get to know somebody better is you get to spend time with them more and more every day. You can take the greatest seminary courses in the world on God and have a great theology and not really know God. Moses knew God, but he didn't know. He had a lot more to learn about God. I don't know if you have ever read any of David McCullough's books. He does the most magnificent job. And Timothy kind of got me on reading him some years ago. I love reading about the Wright brothers and about John Adams. And one that I read that I found so interesting is that he wrote about Harry Truman. And I found out, someone told me later, that he actually came and lived at William Jewell all the time he was writing so that he could actually be here and find out. And I'll tell you, when he got finished, he's the only author that I ever read that described somebody's life, and he could even make description of their windows sound exciting. You know, he just that detailed in his writing. When he finished writing all that he knew about Harry S. Truman, I thought, wow, he really knew Truman, or did he? Yes and no. He really knew an enormous about Harry Truman, but he didn't know Harry Truman. You can know a lot about God, our journey. And this is what Moses was beginning to experience here. Now, how big a deal is that? Here's what A.W. Tozer said. I go to this quote over and over and over again. Look at what A.W. Tozer said. What comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. We tend by secret law of the soul to move toward our image of God. Let me illustrate. You familiar with Richard Dawkins? He wrote The God Delusion, a hardcore atheist. In the very first part of the book of God Delusion, he says, the purpose of this book is to help you, before you finish the book, make you an atheist. That was his goal, an atheist. But also I want you to see what he thought about you and me and himself. He said, life is matter and only matter. There is no God and you don't matter. There is no God and I don't matter. How you look and understand God makes a tremendous impact on who you are. And you cannot figure out who you are if you've not figured out and understand who God is. Those two go together. And the more you understand who God is, the better you'll understand who you are. Two great questions, but we have three more to go. So keep writing. Number three, then Moses kept protesting and saying, oh, this, I can't do this. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. So they will say, you remember he'd been there before and that didn't turn out well. He said, the Lord did not appear to you. You've come back from this back side of the desert taking care of sheep, and you're coming here saying God spoke to you. He said, they're not going to listen to me. And the Lord gave this question. What is that in your hand? Moses, what is that in your hand? What did Moses say? A staff. Literally a stick. You know, a shepherd might be out and take care of the sheep, and he'd go cut a limb off, perhaps one that'd fit his hand and just the right height and all that, and he would guide sheep with that. But what Moses was beginning to discover, it was a stick, only a stick. But with faith in God, that stick became what? The rod of God. It would touch the Nile River and turn it into blood. It would wave it over the sea and it would part the waters. Now, let's get clear about this. God is the one that delivered people from Egypt, not Moses. It was Moses, and this is the way that God works. God watches and works with a person that's willing to take what they have, yielded to him, and let him work in and through them. There's an old gospel song that I love to sing every once in a while. It says, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. If you do that in Jesus' name, it says there's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Just write this down, little is much when God is in it. Here's the equation. It's a good equation. A little plus God is a lot. A little plus God is sufficient. So it doesn't take much on your part when it's added to God. So what Moses began to discover is, I am not capable. I thought what I could do could impress the world and set them free. And what did it do? I ended up on the backside of this desert. Now he's begun to learn that he had nothing to offer except willingness and a humble heart. One reason why we keep coming back to this discover your design over and over and over again, because we're thoroughly convinced that if you'll discover what is in your hand, we may change the name of discover your design and just call it, what is that stick you have? Or I could even say, discover you as a stick. You know, you're nothing more than a stick. But a stick plus God is all you need. What is your design? God has created you. Moses had come to the place he didn't think he was very usable. And it's at that place that you become usable. And Moses surrendered and now begins to understand what God wants to do in and through him. You don't try to be somebody else. You just try to be the person God made you to be. But you have to answer, first of all, who am I? Who is God? And then what is that that God has placed in my hands? Well, Moses kept asking, making excuses over and over and over. You know, so Moses, the next thing he excuses himself with is verse 10 through 12. It says, Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither in the past or said. I've never been able to talk. I can't talk now. That is just not in my giftedness. That's just not the way that I'm getting. I cannot do that. I'm slow to speech, slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, this is the next question. Who made your mouth anyway? Who made your mouth? Who made man's mouth? I mentioned this morning that we a lot of times focus on our abilities rather than our inability or even our disabilities. Let me go ahead and read this. Who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is that not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Write this down. Your disability does not limit God in what he can do through you. In fact, sometimes it's only when we realize our disability do we have the ability in the hands of God. When I came to seminary, I didn't have any place to preach, so I went down to City Union Mission every Monday, and I took my Sears and Roebuck silver-tone guitar down and would sing, and had one guy in seminary that I'd gotten acquainted with. His name was Ed. And Ed had a real speech impediment. He just could not hardly get anything out of his mouth without stuttering. So I thought, I bet no one ever asked Ed to come and speak. So I said, Ed, why don't you come down to the City Union Mission, and I'll sing and you preach. And he said, okay. And I thought, you know, those guys down there really don't care anyway because they're just there to get their soup. And so anyway, he got up there and he spoke and as clear as a bell. He never stuttered once. And I thought, wow, can I believe that, you know? And he came off the stage there and I said, Ed, what a marvelous job. You did great. And he said, he like never got the thank you out. Had a guy the first hour come up after the service and he said, you told my story. He said, I felt God call me to preach, and I had a terrible speech impediment. I could hardly speak. And then when I would get to the pulpit, it was amazing that I never would stutter once. And then I'd walk out and say, same way that you're talking. I'd walk off, and I could hardly get a word out of my mouth. Your disability will not limit God in his plan to work through you. I've told you about David Ring. Do y'all know who David Ring is? I was his pastor when he was in college. And he had cerebral palsy. You could hardly understand David. His speech was so garbled. And he came and said one day, he felt like God is calling him to preach, and I just sort of hung my head, and I think, oh, poor David. He's on the wrong track here. He didn't hear from God. But you know what happened? He began to preach. You would sit on the edge of your seat to try to grab onto every word. And he has preached a number of times on nationwide TV. Have you ever seen Vernon on nationwide TV? Little as much when God is in it. Little as much. Are you willing to take that little amount that you feel like you have and see what God would do? What kind of excuses you come up with for your inability? Well, there's one other question. I hope you never have this question come your way. But God said, what about your brother? Look at it in verse 14. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. Has God ever been angry with you? Is God perhaps angry with you now? Why would God get angry? That doesn't sound like a loving God, does it? Quite the contrary. If your kids are getting involved in things that you know they ought not to and all of that, do you get angry with them? Sure you do. You ought to. That comes out of your love. You love them. You don't want them hurting themselves. You don't want them to destroy their life. Moses was loved by God. God wanted the very best out of Moses. And so he was angry with Moses because Moses was not responding. He was rebelling. And God was angry with him. You remember the parable with the 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent? How did God respond? How did the master respond to the 1 talent man that said, look, I brought it back just the way I gave it to you, not multiplied in whatsoever. And he said, you wicked servant. You didn't use what I'd given you. Makes God angry. Are you using what God has given you? Discover your design can help you get plugged in to use that. He goes on to say, what about your brother, Aaron? What I've learned from this text is if we don't respond, God will get somebody else. If a church doesn't respond, God will find another church. What about your brother? What about your brother? Will you pass that opportunity and pass it by and give it to somebody else? Or will you respond and saying, okay, whatever I have is little plus God is sufficient. Okay, God, no excuses. Here I am. The song we sang a while ago, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, my chains are gone. God saves us. That's the first calling. We respond to that call and we're set free from our sin. The question now is what will you do with that free gift of salvation? That's what we as believers will face in judgment. What did we do with that free gift that he's given to us? My chains are gone. I've been set free. For what? For what reason? For what purpose? Will you submit and say, okay, God, I'm responding to your calling into salvation. Some of you have not taken that step. But many of you will need to respond to this calling, called to serve him with the little as much when God is in it. And take that and let him use that in your life. Okay, this is your journal, this is your assignment. This week, who am I? Spend some time writing that out. Who is God? Who is God in your life? What is that in your hand? What abilities or discipline? What you have in your hand may be a disability. What will you do with that disability? Who made your mouth? And for, you know, some God may say, you know, you got a motor mouth and I need to kind of get that under control and give that to him. But others of you may be slow in speech, whatever it is, you know, he made your mouth. Now let him work in and through that. And then last of all, just say, what about my brother? Am I making excuses to the point that somebody is going to do it and I'll totally miss the blessing of that? Would you bow with me for just a moment? And ask God to help you through these questions this week. Who am I? Get real clear on that. Not what you can do, but who am I? Who is God? God, I want to know you better. What are you going to do to get to know him better? Are any of you living on a childlike understanding of God now that you're an adult? What is that in your hand? Are you using that for God? It may be a disability you have. Are you using that for God? Who made your mouth anyway? How could God use you and your mouth to encourage someone? What about your brother? Are you in danger of saying, oh, God, get somebody else? I just plead with you not to say get somebody else. Don't miss what God has for you. In Christ's name.